Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, examining the 11th chapter, in which the third friend, Tzofar, responds to Iyov. You will recall that Iyov repeatedly, and ever more adamantly, demanded an opportunity to adjudicate his case before a divine court. It would seem the height of impudence for a human being to demand that God explain why the innocent suffer. Yet our sages in Masechet Brachot praised tzaddikim who dare, like Yaakov Avinu, to wrestle with God while acknowledging his awesome power. Now it was Tzofar's turn to reprove Iyov, and though he is the youngest and makes no claim to prophecy or scholarship, he proves to be the most hot-headed of all. Ramban suggests that Tzofar's brash opening is inspired by Iyov's last words, in which he describes the Creator gently and lovingly forming a human being, feeding and nurturing his growth into self-sufficiency, despite God's foreknowledge that as he grows into adulthood, the human will rebel and defy his maker. Clearly, God does not despise the creatures he fashioned, even if they will emerge as sinners. And so it follows that a loving God would definitely not harm those that are righteous. Tzofar opens his soliloquy with rhetorical questions. Harov dvarim lo ye'aneh? Vim ish svatai mitzdak, badecha metim yacharishu, vetil ag ve'en machlim. Are all these words to go unanswered? Is this talker to be vindicated? Will your idle talk reduce others to silence? Will no one rebuke you when you mock? Mitzudot interprets this as follows. Just because you speak so much doesn't mean there are no answers. And just because you are so eloquent does not make you right. Maimonides differentiates between the approaches and ideologies of each of Iyov's friends. And Malbim follows in his path by writing that hitherto, the argument centered around a premise that Iyov and his two elder friends, Eliphaz and Bildad, could agree on. Namely, that if God is watching, that is, if there is hashgacha pratit, and holds each individual accountable for his actions, it is inconceivable that there exists a tzaddik, a holy innocent person, who is suffering. Tzofar, on the other hand, takes a radically different approach. He tells Iyov, "Your fantastical argumentation may silence mortals as you mock them, but no one dares put you in your place." He then proceeds in verses 4 to 6. "Vatomer zach likri uvar hayiti b'einecha." ואולם מי ייתן אלוקה דבר ויפתח שפתיו עמך ויגד לך תעלומות חוכמה כי כפליים לתושייה ודע כי ישה לך אלוקה מאבוניך. You say to God, "My beliefs are flawless and I am pure in your sight. Oh, how I wish that God would speak, that he would open his lips against you and disclose to you the secrets of wisdom. For true wisdom has two sides. Know this, God has even forgotten some of your sin." Apparently, Tzofar is saying, "You insist that you are so pure, and your suffering is wholly undeserved. But if only God would speak and argue with you, if God would share the mysteries of his boundless wisdom, he would reveal to all that you deserve double the pain that has already been inflicted when he finally comes to collect the debt you owe." The last clause, ki yashelecha eloka me'avonecha has been variously translated based on the interpretation of the verb yashe. Ralbag analyzes the etymology and says that it may signify forgetfulness and would be similar to Yosef's words when he named his firstborn son Menashe. Ki nashani Elokim et kol amali ve'et kol beit avi, which is translated, for God has allowed me to forget all my struggles and the house of my father. However, in that context, it was clear that Yosef did not forget. So nashani implies that Yosef had given up and set aside those memories, did not forget them at all, relegating them instead to the hidden recesses of his mind. Accordingly, Tzofar is saying, God does not forget. He just set aside your sin and allowed you a reprieve from the consequences of your misdeeds. Well, it's true that punishment is not instantaneous. Hashem, in his forbearance, may forestall retribution, waiting for a person to introspect and atone. However, eventually, God holds a person to account for unexpiated wrongs he had committed. Others argue that ki yashelach is rooted in the word noshe, who is a debt collector. Sooner or later, God demands that we pay for the debts we accumulate, and even with interest. Moreover, Ralbag, following Chazal in Masechet Yevamot, concludes that God judges us not only for our deeds, but also for our failure to live up to our potential. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im tzadikim kechut ha-se'ara. God is punctilious and makes great demands depending on a person's level. So in engaging in self-examination, a person must look not only for his transgressions, but also for missed opportunities to do good, or for complacency when he witnessed criminals in their evil acts and did nothing to stop them. Tzofar then describes how limited is human understanding and perception, and how blind we are to worlds beyond our senses. In the 7th and 8th verse, he says, "Hacheker Eloka timtza, im atachlit shakai timtza, gavhei shamai matifal, amuka misheol mateda." Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Tzofar claims that we cannot make judgments about any phenomena, and certainly not about forces beyond our physical perception or conceptual comprehension. The human being has very limited senses, and his eyes often fool him. He espouses a view much like Plato's in the Allegory of the Cave, describing the limits of human understanding of events unfolding in front of us. Plato depicts humans as prisoners chained in a dark cave. So they face the back wall of the cave and cannot see the opening. Instead, they can see the play of shadows cast by the reality that happens to come by the opening of the cave. The prisoners try to extrapolate what is happening outside the cave, where the truth ultimately lives, based on fleeting movement of shapes on the walls. shapes that are cast there if and when the light is shining. But they can see nothing in the night and have no inkling of happenings beyond those flashing at the cave's opening. Those prisoners mistake the shadows for reality. Tzofa argues that not only is our vision incredibly limited, but even what we can perceive, we quickly forget. This is particularly true of memories of our own deeds and words. We tend to forget those that clash with the image we have of ourselves. In verse 12, he mocks Iov's self-importance and self-righteousness. Ve'ish navuv yilavev, ve'ayir pere adam yivaled. But a witless man can no more become wise than the colt of a wild donkey can be born a man. So he advises Iov, the best you can do is engage in self-examination rather than question God's ways. He rebukes Iov for having the audacity to stand in judgment of God when he has no grasp of reality at all and relies on his illusions and delusions. Then he continues in a more charitable tone. In the 13th to the 15th verses, he says, "As for you, if you direct your heart and lift up your hands to him, if you put away the iniquity in your hand and allow no injustice to dwell in your tents, then indeed you will lift up your face without shame. You will be able to stand firm and unafraid." He suggests that Iov has chosen to whitewash and forget his own faults. Tzofal stresses the ability of people to rationalize or deny behavior and thoughts of which they should be ashamed. Should Iov accept his fate, then Tzofal promises in the 16th verse, "Ki ata amal tishkach, kemaim avru tizkor." This verse is often translated as a promise that after repenting and praying, all the troubles will be forgotten and the pain will be washed away. However, Malbim notes the redundant pronoun ata, which is already subsumed in the word tishkach, you will forget. The real you, not your body, will upon emerging from the cave of material existence forget all of the toil and trouble, and you will look back at your suffering as a downpouring of water that quenches the soil and enables it to produce fruit. Therefore, our sages in Masechet Brachot advise that one should bless God for the bad times, just as he does for the good times, for they yield fruits in the world to come. We try to understand God through viewing his creations, though we have no perception or comprehension of God himself. Furthermore, we cannot perceive or comprehend spheres beyond the material world in which we are imprisoned. Nor do we have any memory of where our souls have been prior to entering the physical body that we now have. Nonetheless, Tzofar ends with a description of peaceful repose and enlightenment in life after death that awaits a repentant Iov, and compares that life after death to the fate of the wicked who are doomed to utter oblivion. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.